The Ira Kaufman Podcast is presented by Ed Morse Cadillac Tampa and Ed Morse Cadillac Brandon. Just east of 75 on Causeway Boulevard is the beautiful Ed Morse Cadillac Brandon showroom. It's one of Ira's favorite places. Regular podcast listeners know that. Right now at Ed Morse Cadillac Brandon, the 2018 XT5, the beautiful crossover, $359 a month lease. Go to EdMorseCadillacBrandon.com. That's EdMorseCadillacBrandon.com. For all the details, you'll see so many other fantastic offers right now at EdMorseCadillacBrandon.com. We appreciate them presenting all of Ira's work, along with Ed Morse Cadillac Tampa, who we're going to tell you about later. And here's Ira.
How do you like them apples?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Happy Thursday. The Ira Kaufman Podcast is on. The man is on fire. He is the sage of Tampa Bay sports, and Mark Duffner knows it. Bucks defensive coordinator addressing the sage properly today. We are at One Buck. I'm Steve Isbitz of JoeBucksFan.com. Lee DeKemper is here of Joe Bucks Fan. And Ira Kaufman, how are you, Ira?
Sage is out of answers, Isbitz. The sage got no answers. Still trying to recover 3 days later.
Still?
3 days later, it was such a shocking announcement, and I'll tell you why.
Well, wait a minute, Ira, before you tell us why.
Before?
I need to tell the people.
That's called a hook.
About you, Ira.
All right. They know you. All about me. They know that Dante passed away. They know that I don't celebrate, you know, Christmas, but we do have a tree out there. Well, what else
right,
do they want to know?
All right, Ira.
A Hanukkah tree.
What else do they want to know?
Here we go. Your podcast, 29th, and the Google Play top charts, 29th,
ranked
right in there. You're between and this is national, all genres. You can subscribe there. You can find it at iTunes where you're kicking butt. Podbean as well, plenty of
Who am I sandwiched between there?
On Google Play, there's a podcast called Dissect, which is something about in the music industry. It doesn't really give me a lot of details.
It's not erectile dysfunction, is it?
No.
Okay.
No,
right.
There's not a lot to talk
that,
about.
That I would understand if I'm behind that. I would understand that.
Okay.
Isn't there something new, Roman, something? They're doing all this thing with Roman?
Oh, you're going to go there?
I'm not going there. I'm just saying every time I look, there's a commercial for Roman. I thought it's the Roman Empire. I don't know what's going on over here. I don't deal with these
Ira's
things.
The new spokesman for hymns.
All right, what's after Dissect over there?
And then comes you, and then there's a fantasy podcast, Fantasy Football, which is the Daily Fantasy Edge.
It took me a while for
as
to
opposed
say,
to
I as
understand.
Opposed to regular fantasy.
So congratulations.
Which I subscribe to.
I want to tell our listeners I appreciate the support.
So congratulations there, Ira. Also, you, Mr. Sage, are doing a great job on Fox 13 Tailgate Sunday. Fans can watch you at 10:30 Sunday morning on Fox 13.
I just went 0-5 in my picks, Isbitz. What do you mean I'm doing a beautiful
Ouch.
Job?
You're doing a beautiful job because you're very entertaining. You're the you've become the clown of that broadcast. 0-5.
I know my role, Lee. You know, Ricky Reynolds plays it straight, X's and O's. Yeah, as he should. And I'm over there for comic relief over there, Lee.
I saw Ricky Reynolds in the press box sitting not far down from where I was. I had to do a double take. I think only once before have I ever seen him in a press box, never in the front row.
By the way, he looks like he's still in shape, and judging from the Bucks secondary, they might have him in for a tryout next week.
He does look like he could go 10 years in the league, Ricky Reynolds, for the fans that don't remember him, finished up with the new Patriots.
He finished up with Mr. Belichick.
I don't know if Belichick was there then. I don't think so. Reynolds is on the older side.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, he couldn't have been there.
All right.
Anyway, Sage, you also, Tampa 2, your show with Derek Brooks on the Identity Tampa Bay and JoeBucksFan.com twice a week. Now, we're recording this Wednesday afternoon after the locker room. Ira, give the people a little preview nugget of some sort of juice that Brooks dropped on you.
Oh, Brooks.
That they can catch the rest in the show.
I think he didn't say this, but judging from his body language, he was as surprised as I was that Jameis Winston's not going to be on the center at the Meadowlands. He is absolutely appalled at one interception in 9 games. Absolutely appalled. Can't believe it. Doesn't know what's going on. Thinks the defense overall played a little bit better, but getting killed in the turnover margin, and he mentions it every week. Wow. Got to win the turnover battle, especially on the road. Especially on the road. Do you hear that, Bucks? You're going into the Meadowlands. Leave the gun. Take the cannoli. That's where it happened, out in the woods over there. Isbitt's very familiar with those surroundings. A lot of dead bodies out there at Nitta Meadowlands.
How true is it if Sonny would have had easy pass, he wouldn't have gone down to the causeway?
That's a funny line. And then then we started talking about Godfather 3, which wasn't bad, except the Coppola used his daughter in a major role over there, and she can't act. She killed the movie.
You know, I've seen that movie maybe half a dozen times, and I don't get the non-acting part. But then again, she's got me distracted, shall we say.
That's not hard. That's not hard to get you distracted, Kemper. Anything with the right number of chromosomes and then your head over heels.
But Bridget Fonda. I won't say anymore. Not too bad.
All right, I digress over here. Now, by the way, and you mentioned this.
I bet he's never seen a movie with Bridget Fonda.
You might have seen Jackie Brown. She's in Jackie Brown.
I never saw that.
You never saw Jackie?
The pitcher? Brown? He used to pitch for the Expos?
No, the movie Jackie Brown you got over there. You know, you got De Niro and you got Bridget Fonda and Samuel L. Jackson, Pam Grier. This is the comeback vehicle for Pam Grier.
Who, Will Grier.
You guys never heard of Pam Grier.
No, I never heard.
She made all those crazy exploitation movies, Foxy Brown, and all those movies.
Blaxploitation?
Didn't Drake do the soundtrack
never,
for
never
one of those?
Never mind that. Now, you've been mentioning how Brooks...
To me, Jackie Brown was a pitcher with the Expos.
Brooks is becoming more and more outspoken. And that doesn't come natural for Brooks. He always usually plays it close to the vest. And... You know, he's watching this Buck defense, and he's watching this Buck season dissolve. He can't believe what's going on. He just can't believe it. And I think everybody's going to enjoy our Q&A. We need more questions, guys. Javier let off the questions, our man from Panama. But we need more.
You know,
Buck fans should be fired up either way. Either they're excited or they're disgusted.
A lot of Bucks fans are, they're tuning out.
One of the questions is, Derek, are you interested in coming in as a defensive coordinator for this football team?
That ain't happening.
He said absolutely not.
Yeah.
Absolutely not.
just FYI, that's not uncommon. And I bet you've had that several times already. A lot of fans, I can understand why, they'll bring Brooks in to be a defensive coordinator. Or Rondé Barber. I don't think people realize the hours these coaches put in. Brooks is an intelligent man. He's got all kinds of business dealings.
He does.
He's making as much money probably now as any assistant coach, and he's putting in probably a third of the hours. I mean, the hours these coaches put in are insane.
And don't forget, he's working for the NFL as an appeals officer.
That's right. That's right.
He's been doing
that. Yeah. So, yeah, I don't know if people realize, it's not a 9-to-5 job. I mean, these guys come in at 6 in the morning. They're working until sometimes 10 or midnight
at night. Brooks talks to Jameis all the time, Steve. Don't think those two don't talk 2 or 3 times a week.
Oh, I know. Brooks has been very candid, saying that that they seem to have a weekly meeting time, if not a talking time as well. But I'll disagree with you, Ira, just because I have to. I can't let it go. I have to defend Brooks a little bit, too. I think it does come naturally to Brooks to speak openly. He's just a professional, and there's certain things he's not going to say, when the camera's
on. Well, when he was a player, he respected the protocol of you don't call
perfect
out
word.
A teammate and
protocol.
Things like that. Yeah, protocol.
All right, Sage. Now, look, here we are at One Buck. You were there for Mark Duffner. His weekly briefing with the media, he called you Sage. We discussed that already. I appreciate Duffner knowing what's going on in the world of Bucks media. And did you get anything out of him?
Lee, could he be more vanilla? I'll give you an example. Now, I waited and I asked my question about the road defense. Not rogue, road defense. And, guys, this is 5 games. It's not 1 game. It's 5 games, including the damn game they won in week 1, giving up 40.
Ooh. And Bother was there firsthand. We saw that mess.
Absolutely. They're giving up 40 points. Average. 40. I mean, this is unheard of. That's 5 games. Not 1. Not 2.
Yeah, it's a pattern.
So here they are going into Meadowlands. And, I phrased my question. Have you thought about this? You guys with your coaches, what's going on the road? There's a disparity. They just gave up 16 points at home. Against the Eagles, they gave up 21 at home.
That's rogue, the way that defense is playing.
Yeah. So, I got no answer, Steve. I got no answers from my questions. Either the questions are bad, or they don't want to answer them. But I guess I got to go back in my woodshed and work on my questions. But they got no answers. We want to be more consistent. That's his whole thing, consistency, consistency. Well, you know what? You're consistent in your answers. I'll give you that. Defense made a few strides last week, Steve. But you know what? When Alex Smith needed to make a play,
he
had time, and he made it. He had time, and he made it. I'm a little worried about JPP. Isbitz isn't worried. He thinks he's going to, the side of the Meadowlands will spark him, and maybe it will. But I think his play's dropped off the last couple of weeks.
Well, the last couple of weeks he hasn't had a sack. So, yeah, that's a very accurate point. But then again, he's got eight already, which by the Bucs standards, I mean, that's Reggie White.
I'm not asking for a sack every week. I'm not. I want him to be a little more active than he's been the last couple of weeks. Because let's face it, it's basically all they got up front. Nassib actually looks almost like their second best defensive lineman at this point.
By the way,
Steve thought McCoy played well on Sunday.
By the way, somebody, I don't know if it was Steve, Rock Rowley, someone told me, and I'm like you, I always said Nassib. Someone asked him, how do you pronounce your name? And this, someone wrote to Joe Bucks fan, I might have been on Twitter last week, they got angry with me because I said Nassib. Well, Nassib said the proper pronunciation of his name is Nassib. So don't get mad at me. Get mad at Nassib.
Well, however you want to pronounce it, he's overachieving.
Yeah.
It's a rare bright spot on this defense, which will probably be missing a second starting linebacker on Sunday.
Levante down.
And so that's not going to help. And nobody knows what's going on with Beckwith. Nobody knows what's going
on. Well, Steve kind of brought this up, and I don't think you ever brought it up in the podcast before, but Steve brought this up months ago. For all we know, and I understand why they won't get specific about the injury, for people who don't know, Kendall Beckwith, he broke his ankle in an auto accident right before, not OTAs.
Before the draft.
Yeah, before
the
draft.
He was in the passenger seat, I believe,
He was in the passenger seat. And Steve had mentioned this offhand before. For all we know, he may have shattered the ankle. If he returns this year, I'll be surprised.
Beckwith in the locker room today is walking around, baseball hat, shorts. He was not getting dressed for practice, and he is allowed to practice.
Isn't he running out of time?
You know, even if he came back.
By the way, guys, we keep this podcast going 52 weeks. I don't know how we do it, but we do it.
There's always things to talk about.
And I'm telling you right now, and Steve couldn't even disagree if he wanted to, and he's not writing anything down, which is a good sign.
Yeah.
We could probably do 9 shows in the offseason, and probably will, about Le'Veon Bell, because he's already being linked to the Bucs.
Oh, yeah.
And they've already got the list of 4 or 5 teams, and, maybe Baltimore wants him, and maybe this team wants him. And the Bucs are being prominently mentioned. So I'm going to wait till the offseason for that one. It's an interesting
one. Well, I'll hit you with the current one, and it involves your buddy Chris Russo.
Go ahead.
I did a Google search. I'll even show you on my phone. I did a Google search. Mike Freeman, 10-point stance, Bleacher Report, because he's a very good columnist. He had yet to publish what Steve linked to this morning. Your buddy Chris Russo said yesterday, he threw it out there. There was a big discussion about Eli Manning. He said, people keep talking about Jacksonville. You watch. I could see him going to the Buccaneers.
You know what? He did say that. I did hear that.
A couple hours later, and I'm not, if Mike happens to be listening, I don't think Mike listens. Mike's a great guy. I'm not suggesting you stole anything from Russo. I'm just saying I heard this on Russo, and someone had Twittered me this morning. Hey, what do you think about Eli? I'm like, well, Chris Russo said it. And then, lo and behold, Mike publishes his column. He's getting this from prominent NFL sources.
You know who a team that's interested in Eli Manning for 2019? A team who thinks that they're right on the brink of winning the whole damn thing. Do we have that here at One Buck Place? Do we have it? Does Eli Manning play defense? No.
Let's get this in order, Sage. Look, Eli Manning, whatever he does next year, I'm glad you brought this up. And, of course, we're playing the Giants on Sunday. Where he goes and what he does next year is going to be very much tied to how he finishes this season. If you watch the last game, he doesn't look like a washed-up quarterback. He's arguably the most durable quarterback in the history of the NFL. He's been incredible.
He's there with Favre, right there with Favre.
He's right there.
Has he ever missed a start?
He only missed one because he was benched last year.
That's what I mean.
No.
But not for injury.
No, yeah, he doesn't get hurt.
It's amazing. He's not that mobile either.
He's a statue just about.
38 years old, and this year, as Duffner mentioned from the podium today, he's actually thrown at a 67% clip this year.
That's a nice clip.
And so, look, there are a lot of teams that maybe would be interested, but it will depend how he finishes. Mike Freeman, who Lee mentioned, noted author and a longtime NFL guy, he said that multiple NFL front office sources have told him, when he was asking about Eli Manning, told him they like the Bucs as a destination. Ira, you think that's crazy?
Oh, yeah, I do. Oh, my. Well, what's going on here, DeKemper?
Well, number one, if that's the case, then there must be word floating through league circles that James is done. That's number one.
That's number
two,
one.
I would that tells me they're probably going to go after a quarterback in the draft, where it would be Will Greer. Anything after Will Greer, I think you're wasting your time. Waste your money.
If you take a first-round quarterback, the expectation is he's going to play. That's all.
Regardless of Eli Manning on the roster? No, they're looking at DeSean Jackson, Mike Evans, Howard still here.
You got to protect them. This line's not great. Probably better than the Giants line, but not
Oh,
great.
My gosh.
I don't think it makes a lot of sense.
Ira, me, you, Stephen Fenley would be a better offensive line with the Giants.
If this was a middle-of-the-road defense, I'd think about it, but it's not.
Well, but then you have to look at it from Eli Manning's standpoint. If he wants to keep playing, obviously he wants a ring. Obviously Denver might be a fantastic destination for him, but he also wants weapons to throw to. He's a quarterback. Hey, and if he looks at the box, he's going to be like, wow, this is pretty good. And it's Florida, and they're not going to hound the crap out of me here, and easy media and JPP. And
a little cheaper taxes than New Jersey.
It sounds a sexy conversation, but I just, when you boil it down, I don't think it makes a lot of sense for this franchise.
I don't think it makes sense either. But
and you know that the family that owns this team, they love Splash. That'd be Splash.
If he finishes this season well, Lee, won't he have his choice maybe of two or three spots?
I'm sure.
Yeah.
I'm sure, but like Steve said, good luck finding the team with as good weapons as the Bucks.
Right, right.
Going back to JPP, which you mentioned, two games in a row now, no sacks. And, yeah, he hasn't played as well, especially considering he was going up against a backup offensive tackle against the Redskins. But I think I said to you in the locker room, Ira, if a great defensive end, you know, if he has 10 good games, then he's looking at a 12-sack season, and everybody thinks he's great, and he's the least of the Bucks' worries.
He is. He's the least of their problems.
How many games in a row did Golston have without a sack? 20?
Don't even put Golston and JPP in the same sentence now. Come on.
All right, Sage.
Are we done with the Winston affair?
No.
Are we done
No,
with
we're
this?
Not even close to done with the Winston affair. You were in the locker room today. Ira, buzzing around the locker room. I saw you trying to get some juice.
I did. I kept inching closer and closer to number three. He was sitting there. Closer and closer.
Number three was sitting there. What are you feeling in this locker room, Ira?
Well, there's no buzz. There's no juice. There's a heck of a ping pong game going on in the corner. You got Bo Allen and Cameron Brate doing trivia for Fox 13.
Oh, okay.
And there's so little going on in the locker room that there were 19 cameramen and media members that seemed to be totally into this trivia contest. You know what's trivia? Going 5-11. That's trivia.
Nobody's shooting hoops?
A couple of shooting hoops. I got a little nugget for you, Iz, but you're always looking for a locker room nugget. I went over to Marpet, and he's still beaten down at this point that he's looking at me cross-eyed.
Wow.
And I made him get up out of his chair because he was sitting next to Donovan Smith. I didn't want anybody else to hear this.
Music cranking?
So I meet. No music. I don't think so.
Not even any music today.
So I made him get up. He goes, really? I go, yeah.
That's nasty of you.
And, you know, I took him about five steps back from his locker, and I said to him, and he put his head down so he could hear me whisper. And I said, Alan, and anybody say anything to you after the game or during this week about that the cameras happened to zoom in on you?
Jumbotron.
After Catanzaro's, you know, missed 30-yarder and the frustration was so evident on your face. I said, any family members, anybody say anything to you that they noticed? He said, no, my family was at the game. So, but he said nobody's mentioned it to him.
Yeah, I wrote the story where I saw it on the Jumbotron.
He sounded like he was unaware of it. Can you blame him? Steve, can you blame him for showing frustration? He's out there getting pummeled all day long on that line, and you got a chip shot field goal. Chip shot. It's less than a point after.
Oh, but you know what, Ira? I that's actually, in my eyes, it's a good thing. Shows he cares. His heart's still there. You know, some of these guys, and Steve's going to write a story at some point this week on JoeBucksFan.com. Stephen Che, who works for Barstool, and just out of the kindness of his heart, he's a big Bucks fan. So he likes to put all 22 cut-ups on his Twitter feed to show people, you know, highlights things. And I asked him, because, you know, he warned people, hey, I'm going to put some cut-ups up Tuesday night, Wednesday morning. And I asked him, you know, Steve noticed some offensive linemen lollygagging. That's my word, not Steve's.
Yeah.
And that's like an old man, 1920s, lollygagging. A couple guys dragging their rear end. That's more 21st century. And offensive line on a play where Peyton and Barber was fighting his tail off to get a couple of yards. And, boy, it looks bad. Stephen Che did do that for us, and he put it up on his Twitter feed. Steve will have it later. It looks bad. I mean, there's clearly the whistle's not blown, and there's three offensive linemen sitting there twiddling their thumbs, looking around, standing around, not even trying to hit somebody.
Lee, that leads me right into a quick point I want to make before Isbitz reassumes control of this podcast.
He hasn't had his pen in his hand yet.
My Wednesday column. I hit him square between the eyes. Was about the offensive line. I write about these guys so often. I don't think you can write about them enough. The terrible ground game. This is going on 3 freaking years.
Mm-hmm.
Not games. 3 years. They can't run the ball. Can't run. Doug Martin is a distant memory, Lee.
He's not doing much with Oakland either.
And I came up with this nugget, and I haven't done my research on the rest of the league, but I'm going to lay it on Lee because Steve's probably read my column, and Lee, you haven't.
No.
Lee, how many games have the Bucks played this season?
I played 9.
Tough question. I marked with a curve. Very good.
That's why I was stuttering. I thought there was a curveball here. Like,
how many starts has the 5 basic offensive linemen of the Buccaneers missed this season through 9 games?
0.
The answer is 0.
Mm-hmm.
0.
That's what's so sad.
0. I haven't done the research about other teams.
Yeah.
I can't imagine there's too many other teams that have a completely intact offensive line through 9 games.
I completely agree. That's almost unheard of.
9 games, no changes, including the right guard Benenock. So I'm looking at Kappa.
Who shouldn't be starting?
I'm looking at Kappa, and I'm standing there, Kappa.
Can't get dressed.
And I say to Isbitz, what's it going to take for this guy to get some action? He's not a 6th-round pick. He's a 3rd-round
pick. Yeah, second-year pick.
Nasty?
Allegedly.
They need a little nasty? Steve, where am I wrong on this? Try something different. What's going on up front? Why can't they run? Why?
That's a loaded question, although I think...
And it's not how often they run. It's why can't you run better?
I got one on top that will...
Hold on, I want to hear Isbitz's answer because I'm putting him on the spot. Why can't this team run the football?
Well, I think the offensive line isn't nasty enough. I mean, there are too many times where they look like they're not playing to the whistle. There are too many guys not finished. Like even that one run Lee was talking about. If all of those guys played to the whistle, Barber might have taken that all the way. All the way. But I think that's part of it. I don't know why beyond that. You know, Barber, if you really just look at him as a runner and even look at his numbers compared to the rest of the league, he really doesn't have bad numbers, Ira.
I think everything he gets on his own, Lee.
It sure seems that way.
Lee, they got the highest paid center in the league. Marpet just got taken care of. Smith's waiting on his money. What's going on here?
Well, the thing about Smith is, you know, dude, don't you know you're in a contract year? Everybody's watching. That blows me away. I guess he'd rather listen
to music. And Dotson, I think, might be having the best year up front.
I got two elements for you. One that you'll really love. And I know this is your point. You know, the 5 offensive linemen have not missed a start. The Redskins with a decimated line. You know that as well as I do.
3 new starters last week.
3 new starters, and the 4th guy was so beat up it was a game-time decision. They outrushed the Bucks. Now, here's one for you about the film work. One of these clips that Steve and Shea put up on his Twitter feed, it was a pass play, a nondescript pass play. He wanted to highlight something about Fitzpatrick. And in his Twitter, he's, by the way, look at Benlock. He didn't touch anyone. A right guard on a pass play, you might as well not even had him on the field. He didn't touch anybody. I'm not making that up. I'm not exaggerating. He didn't touch anybody.
Steve, either the talent's lacking up front or the coaching stinks or both.
Well, then there's the flip side, Ira. They're churning out yards. They're still churning out yards, most in the league.
Yeah, so, through the air.
Right. So you can't blame the O-line for the pass blocking.
But Ira wants to see rushing.
And you want to see more running. Well, you know,
I want to see better running. Better running.
You want to see better running. Well, they don't have the extreme commitment to it. Look, Peyton Barber might be the 20th best starting running back in the NFL. What do you want from the guy?
You know, I'm not blaming Peyton Barber. Where's the holes?
There's no complimentary back. You know, he has 3 runs of 20 yards plus this year, Peyton Barber. You know how many guys don't even have that? I just pulled it up here.
Well, they got 3 as a team, I think. He's got all 3.
He's got
3 as a team.
He's got 3.
That ain't a lot.
You know who do you want to pick? Ira, Sony Michel, everybody freaks out about. He's got 2.
Emmitt Smith.
Alvin Kamara has 1.
You're making my point. Peyton Barber's not a bad back. You're
not
making
Emmitt
my
Smith.
Point.
What's the feed me guy? Ohio State running back.
The problem with the Bucs,
the Cowboys.
The core problem with the rushing. You were looking for answers.
They're not physical.
They're not physical. That's the
Thank
problem.
You.
And here's why. Because whenever they seem to get 2nd and 2, Cutter's not saying, we're running the next 3 downs. You guys are getting this no matter what. They're not running well in the red zone, which is more about...
And Lee, when you can't run, that's a problem in the red zone. It's more, a big problem. And
when you're only scoring 3 points a game, you hell right, that's a problem. And, could you look up Ezekiel Elliott real quick?
Sure. And that's more...
I don't know why. Is it Emmitt Smith?
What do you want to know about Elliott?
How many 20-yard gains he has?
He's got seven.
Oh, really? Well,
Todd Gurley has seven. James Conner has eight. Kareem Hunt was six.
Doug Martin?
Four-three. But the little Dougie Martin.
Leonard Fournette doesn't have one yet. He hasn't played a lot. McCaffrey has three, just like Peyton Barber. LeSean McCoy has three. Whatever. Not a lot of physicality. The red zone running, that's more about physicality than anything else. It's been lacking, and they're paying a bitter, bitter price. But, Sage, you want to go back to Jameis, because there's Jameis sitting in the locker room. Nobody can figure out why this guy
isn't
playing.
Having a little discussion. It might have been Anthony or Claire he was talking to, or something like that.
Brushing up on his French.
And I kept moving towards Winston. I kept moving my body. You know, another 5 minutes, I'm in his lap over there.
Well, see, that's the wrong establishment.
And then Jenna Lane was standing next to me.
No, don't get...
Never mind that. And Jenna Lane said to Winston, and I heard her, "Jameis, you got a minute?" And he said, "Not today. Not today." You know, didn't he hold court at his locker last week? I believe he did.
A little bit, yeah.
A little bit last week. So hey, maybe he might talk later.
He didn't want to talk Bucks with you. You know, that's really... he wasn't talking with anybody else about Buck stuff.
Yeah, he's crushed. Is. He's absolutely crushed. How could he not be? He's healthy. Stevie's healthy.
Let me spell this to you a different way, and then you guys can go down the Jameis road.
All right.
Fitzpatrick is 0-4, Ira. He's on an 0-4 clip. He is turning the ball over in that clip more than he's throwing touchdowns. He made a litany of errors in this past game, running and throwing the ball. And they put up 3 points. Everybody who ever said, well, you know, even the defense plays better when Fitzpatrick is out there and always rallying the troops, that's gone out the window. You see him lighting it up with DeSean Jackson? No. So remember all the times we heard about Fitzpatrick? Oh, he made this great audible. Oh, we didn't, you know, he checked that at the line of scrimmage and we threw 70 yards here and this and that. We don't hear any of that anymore. Yet here he is as the starting quarterback on the big stage of New York where they know he sucks. And what the heck is going on?
This is more about Winston than it is about Fitzpatrick. It's got to have something to do with Winston. It's all about Winston at this point. Something going on. And him not playing. It's not Fitzpatrick. He hasn't taken the job and grabbed it by the throat. Hasn't. So in lieu of that, this is about Winston. And... you figure he's paid his penance, if you want to look at it like that. He's been humbled. And don't you want to see him for these final 7 weeks and help you make a better decision going forward? Maybe they're not happy with Jameis Winston off the field as well as on the field. Maybe he's not complying with some of the stipulations of the deal. Something's going on with Winston.
Well,
something's going on.
I'm starting to think something happened. Whether they dug dirt up on him or... whether he, like you're kind of hinting something behind the scenes, maybe he's not practicing hard anymore, which sounds so un-Jameis-like. Something smells weird as far as something happened to him at the time off, I think, because he looks so damn good in training camp, and I know preseason, but I've never seen him throw in practice. I've never seen him so that accurate. Something happened, and I don't know if that's why he's benched. It almost smells personal with Cutter at this point.
I got a question for Steve, and he's got good insight on this stuff. Steve, could Winston be shut down for the rest of the 2018 season and still be the starting quarterback for the Bucs next year? Could that happen?
Absolutely, Ira. Look, if this comes down to ownership.
I know what you're going to say. There's going to be a new coach in town. That's what you're going to say.
Well, we've been down that road already. It's very obvious, barring an incredible turnaround that I hope we all see, because how fun would that be? But they will defer to the new head coach. They have to. They can't have some sort of
The last memory of Jameis Winston is a disastrous effort. Disastrous.
Yes, but the new head coach, whoever that's going to be, or the new general manager, that new team is going to look at all the film. And they're going to talk to everybody about his practice habits, and they're going to dig as deep as they can, and they'll look at the landscape, number one, is like, well, who else can we get? You know, who's out there?
Should we give him middle-of-the-pack money?
And they'll No, he's already signed for next year, Ira.
Right.
They'll make a decision based on the film, based on what else, all the way these personnel guys make decisions. So I think the Glazers are just – I don't see how they can't just defer to the new regime. And the new regime may say, you know what? What Lee said, hey, this guy's probably our best option for next year, so let's see what he's got, and we'll go from there.
Cutter said something on his Friday night interview, Sirius XM NFL Radio, with Alex Marvez and Gil Brandt. And I can't remember the exact quote, but Cutter was asked about quarterbacks, and you can tell he's getting tired of talking about quarterbacks. And he was, I don't know if upbeat's the right word, but he was neutral. And then he let out a comment. We had a strange start to the season. I didn't sign up for any of this. It's either I didn't sign up for any of this or I didn't ask for any of this. And like, whoa, that really caught my attention. Like, whoa. And that's why I'm starting to think this is personal with Cutter, the way he's benched James. I'm starting to think it's personal. He dug his own grave, I think Cutter did, because we all know. If it wasn't for James, he wouldn't be here. And by benching James, he publicly admitted, I failed.
Maybe Cutter feels he's snake bit at this point, Steve. You know,
or
a lot of, you know, the offense is outstanding in terms of franchise history, and he looks in his minus 19 and he's 3-6.
Well, could it be this? Could it be Cutter's like USOB? You got suspended. You're going to cost me my job. You're going to ruin my career. USOB. You're on the bench.
I don't know. All I know is Fitzpatrick did not dig a hole. Give Fitzpatrick his credit. Steve, we got to go back to the summer. Everybody's saying 0-3, 0-3. That was even before Winston got suspended. 0-3, 0-3. Instead, Fitzpatrick plays the game of his life in week one and beats Breeze in a shootout. Breeze, who could end up being the MVP of this league. He's in the conversation. They haven't lost since. Haven't lost since. And he beats them 48-40. I mean, what an effort. Beat the Eagles after that and...
All right. Let me put it to you this way, and then we're going to two things. One, Ira and Lee went very deep on the Jameis road and on our last podcast. You can find that on all the podcast platforms and at Joe Bucks Fan if you want to hear them go deeper on that with the shock of the news and all the angles there.
Shock's now, the word, man. Shock's the word.
Nothing's really changed on that front other than the shock still lingers because it is still mind-boggling. But think about this, Ira. The Buccaneers, they started, this was a big thing for Cutter. They started crazy slow against the Panthers. Started terribly slow on offense. And they did the same thing against the Redskins, right? Didn't, in Carolina, didn't Fitzpatrick throw an early pick?
Yeah.
In Carolina? A very early pick. Might have been the first drive. So here we are, 2 weeks in a row, the same mistakes, and Cutter is okay with that? It leads toward what Lee said about it being personal. Fitzpatrick is doing the same kinds of things Jameis has done, just with a little less widespread criticism because he's not a polarizing guy. It's goofy, and we'll see as it develops. Now, here, Ira, I want to ask you this as we lead into this weekend's game. If the Bucs win, if they beat the Giants, you know what's going to happen. We're going to hear all the chatter of, well, you know, if they can take care of business against the 49ers and, you know, Cutter is going to be like, hey, we can get right to 5-6 and we're right there with a division schedule. And, you know,
he's already saying that,
you know, that's what he's thinking. So, you know, that do you really think that the team Glazer, if they would they intervene if the team starts winning a little bit to sit Fitzpatrick down and see Jameis a little bit?
Well, if they didn't interfere with the team 3-6 and on a three-game losing streak, they're not going to demand Winston's insertion if they start winning. Lee, I can't believe Isbitt's even threw that question off at me. No, because Cutter's going to then feel justified with going with Fitzpatrick.
Emboldened.
Nice. Very nice, Lee. Outstanding. See, you shook off that vodka and you came up with a hell of a word.
I wasn't drinking vodka today.
It's just... if I'm Dirk Cutter and I'm saying, like, maybe like Dirk Cutter says, why do I got to look at Jameis Winston for the last seven games? If we don't win some games, I'm not going to be here to make the decision on Jameis Winston. I'm sticking with Fitzpatrick because I don't trust Winston. Isn't that what he's saying, Lee?
Sure smells like it.
I didn't say that they if they're on some sort of long winning streak. I just said they start winning a little bit and playing better ball. But I think
don't think Buck fans are going to get too excited the rest of this season, Lee. I just don't think so. I think they needed to beat the Redskins.
Yes.
And that would have given them a little momentum and a real chance at a three-game winning streak. And now I think it's over.
All right, Ira. You know, and I think a layer to this is that, you know, people say, well, Cutter's fighting for his job. Honestly, I think he's fighting to be a head coach candidate when he gets fired. I think Cutter enjoys being a head coach, and I think he'd like to. He doesn't want to go out like this. And I think if he can somehow, in his mind, drag this team to 7-9, somebody might look at him and say, "Hey, you know what? He knows how to build an offense, and you know Winston's a nutcase, and yeah. You know it only takes one team to maybe look at that."
But Lee, it's a lot more likely that he'd have to go back to being an offensive coordinator, sure. and a good one.
All right, Ira, game time. Predictions. I don't have the stats in front of me, but
I'm still mad about last week.
Why
did I pick the Bucks, Lee? I think I'm 5-4.
I think you're tied with Lee, and I'm one up on both of you guys. So you got, but we'll check the record with Javier.
Yeah, Javier's documenting everything.
He's the official.
All right, I'll go first this week.
You're going first, though.
Okay. I'm
going
to go first. I went last week.
Sage is up.
I went last week, and because you two schnooks picked the Redskins.
I love it named
I tried to be contrary, so I went with the Bucks, and I got pie in my face. I'm going first. They're on the road. Do I think the Giants will score 40? No, but I think they'll score 30, and it'll be enough. 30-20 Giants.
34-23 Giants. Carlton Davis will get to know Odell Beckham up close and personal.
Well said. What do you got, Mr. Isbitz?
You know what? That's funny because that was the score I had in my head.
Yeah, but you got the Bucks winning.
No, I don't have the Bucks.
Oh, you don't have the Bucks
winning. No.
All three of us picking
I think that the Bucks are mentally broken, and I think the elements aren't going to help them. I don't think that brings the will out of a guy when it's supposed to be in the 30s that game.
In the 30s, Lee.
Not really sure how the Bucks are going to stop.
What if this new guy kicks 7 field goals?
I asked Duffner, you know, I couldn't just flat out ask him. But I asked him today, hey, do you believe in shadowing a guy one-on-one around the field? Which, of course, goes back to the Julio Jones debacle.
Yes.
And he didn't really, all he had to say was, yeah, sure.
You never get straight answers out of these people.
The guy didn't say, yes, I believe in having a cornerback do it. You pick your spots. But no, he wouldn't really answer the question, all vague. And, you know, I'd love to see Brent Grimes revitalize himself, have him cover Beckham.
Take on the challenge.
Ira, you know, take a chance, but I'm going to go. I can't go the same score, Ira, but okay. I'm going to. I'll say 27-20 Giants.
Ira, over and under Saquon Barkley 120 yards.
Under because Manning is going to get 350, so okay. He's going to go under.
Oh, I'm glad Lee brought that up. Now you mentioned earlier that I said, which I was talking on the last podcast, and with the editing, I don't think that part made it when we were talking about the Skins game last week. But I did say McCoy played well, if you look at the film, and I watched it all.
You did say that. Yes, you did.
Now, I feel a little validated, not because you might agree, Ira, even though you are the great sage. In the locker room today, Dirk Cutter always has an inspirational message in the locker room.
Today's message was, we're going with Fitzpatrick. That's what it said.
And it's on. That message is on video, and it's also becomes the automatic screensaver for all the guys' Surface tablets, so they can see the message every time they log in. And I think it was last year or 2 years ago, I agreed not to discuss the message and write it up, because I was writing it up every week, and because it's an insight into the head coach, right? And they let us in
there.
What
he's emphasizing. Yeah.
I was told, don't write that up. It's really, you know, it's not cool. And I'm like,
and you complied.
I complied. But I'm not going to break that. But I will say that the inspirational message this week, which always features a player who played very well the week before, Gerald McCoy is the graphic feature.
I saw that. I did see him. He was tracking Alex Smith.
Yeah, so yeah. Lets you know that Mr. Cutter really liked the way McCoy played as well, and that's one for the McCoy haters to chew on, that the film shows he played a good game and he might be hopefully breaking through.
With a nasty injury.
I think he went down later in the fourth quarter. You know, maybe he played most of that game great. I don't know how he's feeling now, but we'll see if he's on today's injury report, which
Lee,
will be out before the podcast.
All three of us picking the home team to beat the Bucks. What does that tell you, Lee? What does it tell you?
Well, that tells you the Bucks are garbage. Tells you the Giants have weapons, which they do. Saquon Barkley, Odell Beckham, and
Bucks got a better record than the Giants. Got a better record. Doesn't matter.
As you sort of hinted at, what they did the first 2 weeks of the season, and it's almost like another year away.
Steve, could this matchup have an impact on the top of the 2019 NFL draft order, this game?
Well, look, the Giants have 2 wins. The Bucks have 3. What more do you need to know? The 49ers have 1 win, and there are a lot of teams clustered.
And the Giants are going to be looking at a quarterback.
Yeah, and the Bucks are among several teams clustered at 3 wins. So, you know, a couple of wins here is going to hurt them in the draft big time. But I can't root for him to lose. But it is this game is big for the draft. This specific game, very big.
Ira, if you're not playing for the playoffs, you play for the draft. No coach, no player wants to hear it, but that's the brutal, honest truth.
Not a bad way to go out, Stevie.
All right, Ira, we will see you next week looking dapper. Of course, we appreciate all the support from Ed Moore's Cadillac Tampa and Ed Moore's Cadillac Brandon.
I'll be on tailgate Sunday on
Sunday
morning.
Talked all about that, Ira. Get out of here.